KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration will be Mr. Les Pee Wee Harrison. And other speakers include Imani Muhammad, Mike Crenshaw, Jamo Greenidge, and more. That's Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, September 11th through 13th at venues across Portland. Location, speakers, and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you do have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Health Watch is off, but instead we will hear Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher interview representatives from three local organizations about destigmatizing mental illness and a play called Break the Silence, Break the Stigma. At 11:30, you're going to want to stay tuned for Madness Radio with Dr. Johanna Moncrief. We'll discuss The Myth of the Chemical Cure, a critique of psychiatric drug treatment.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Eye Care, a Southeast Portland optometrist providing eye exams, contact lenses, and medical eye care, as well as eyewear from independent designers. Portland Eye Care is located at 41st and Southeast Division Street in Portland and online at eyepdx.com.
This is Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And today we have some special guests that are coming together to host a one-time special event happening in the community the evening of September 15th at the Artist Repertory Theater called Break the Silence, Break the Stigma. They're here today to tell us about it and their unique collaboration behind the issue of mental health. Here to tell us about the event and to talk to us more are the three people representing very different organizations. We'll be speaking with Patty Lyon, Associate Director of NAMI, Multnomah, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Darrell Walker, CEO of Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare Incorporated. And Ryan Bowen, who is a performer with the Playback Theater. So as we get started, how about we introduce each of you, and then you can give us your name and the name of the organization and maybe a brief description, and then we can talk further about how you came together. So why don't you start, Patty? Maybe give us a little of your background and interest, and then an explanation of your organization and what it does.
Sounds good. Yes, I'm Patty Lyons, and I'm the Associate Director for NAMI Multnomah, which is an organization that supports family members and individuals who suffer from a mental health condition. And we provide free programming, education classes, support groups, and advocacy in our organization. And I've been there just a little over 2 years, and it is a kind of an amazing organization because it really brings the family members and the individuals together. Mental health can be very alone for many people. It can feel very isolating, and this is a place people can learn about the illness, learn about others and their experience, and be able to, you know, go from there.
Yeah. So you become a member, and
you can become a member, but you don't have to be part of the education classes. We've got peer-to-peer classes that are taught by peers, people who are affected. We've got family-to-family, which is a class that is offered to family members by family members. We have trainings in peer support specialists. We've got our support groups, both for people who have a mental health condition and for family members. So there's lots of ways to get involved. You can become a member, you can volunteer. We've been around for a little over 30 years, and we're part of a national NAMI, which is in Washington, D.C., and also there's a NAMI Oregon here in Portland.
Okay, fabulous. Well, that's an interesting introduction, and I want to come back to how you personally work within your organization.
Okay.
And out in the community. So next, I think maybe we want to talk with Our next guest, which is Darrell Walker, he's the CEO of Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare Incorporated. And I know you've been involved for a long time with mental health issues, starting way back in the early 70s?
Early 70s.
Yeah. Right. So tell us a little bit about your background in Oregon and then your CEO directorship.
Sure. I'm the CEO of Cascadia Behavioral Health. It's a very large organization that serves four counties, Marion, Lane, Clackamas, and Multnomah, and we're expanding into Washington County.
Yeah, it's a big organization.
Yeah, it's very large. It's comprehensive services, outpatient services. We have four clinics in those counties, and crisis respite services, mobile crisis, 24-hour crisis outreach, and mobile. We work a lot with local police departments and other people that need those kind of services. In a variety of other programs, such as we have in-prison programs, several of those in the state of Oregon. We also have a very large portfolio of housing resources, over 600 units for people with mental illness, and we provide supported services in many of those units. My background is a PhD psychologist and have had an interest in mental health for many, many, many years. A lot of personal interest because of the loss of a close friend when I was a teenager, which kind of set me in this direction. I found that very inspiring and kind of a personal mission of mine. But I've worked in the state of Washington, a variety of other states, and including, in addition to Oregon, in community mental health.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Fascinating. And again, Ryan, I'm going to speak with Ryan Bowen now, who's a performer with Playback Theater. So although mental health is the broad issue, tell us a little bit about your involvement in the theater and how you became aware of this particular project.
Well, I'm a performer in the Portland Playback Theater, and basically there are several therapists involved in our group, and they have acting training. They've been active for many years in both the mental health field and in the performance industry. So what we do is we will take a subject, and we'll have an audience gather, and they will tell stories around that subject. So in this case, it will be around the stigma of mental health, of course, around surrounding mental illness. And our purpose is to foster communication between something that's maybe not spoken about. But we...
directly with the audience.
Yeah, what they do is they come up and tell stories.
Yeah.
They'll tell a story from their life. The actors will huddle for a moment and speak a word or two or three sometimes. And then we go out and we perform that for them. So they have a story that's happened in the past, obviously. And they have their conclusions and their ideas around the story. But when they see that played back in front of them, it's like... It's like magic. It's like
powerful.
Exterior. It gives them distance from their story. And they can take it out of the box of conclusions they had it held in. And it's cathartic. It's transformational. It's incredible. And to have the audience witness that as well is incredible. And it gives them reality on what these people have gone through, or their joys, their sufferings, their shame.
Or just the whole panoply of human emotions that you would derive from being in community.
Absolutely.
With people. Wow. That's just what an exciting opportunity for you as an actor. I mean, that's it, the whole deep level of humanity.
I'm smiling. You can't see this, but I mean, you can.
I can hear it.
It's absolutely true. The power. And we rehearse. When we rehearse, we tell stories from our own lives. So you get this very processing of your own life that you get to get exterior to and become more, have more cause over and understanding of and affinity for. And it's been really powerful. I've been involved for 5 years and it's changed my life.
So Ryan, just give me, I know that you're a native Oregonian Sherwood. Is this what you thought you might be doing at this time?
No, not at all.
I started
in acting when I was a teenager and went to college for a year in a very wonderful program. And then I moved on to other things and I got into construction and started running. I built my own company and been running my company as a contractor. But a few years ago, I'm like, I need something more. And so I saw playback perform and I was like, oh my God, that's so powerful. I think I'm wired for that. That's the meaning. I don't just want to do performance for entertainment value. I want to change the world. Maybe a little piece at a time. And communication, understanding is the key to that. And so it's been extremely powerful. And I've seen people's faces change. I mean, there's psychodrama techniques, drama therapy techniques that are used, as well as just simple improv, singing, dancing. It's extremely transformational. And we are so excited to work, to part with NAMI and Cascadia in doing this to foster that communication between the people suffering from the stigma, the family suffering from that stigma. It's a real issue and they don't have a voice, not a loud voice. So we're really excited to do that.
Yeah, what a wonderful arena. Now I want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking about a special one-time event that's coming up Tuesday, September 15th at 7:30 p.m. It's at the Artist Repertory Theater, which is at 1515 Southwest Morrison. The tickets are $25, and they're available at breakthesilence.brownpaperbagtickets.com. And, of course, we'll have that information throughout the program today. This seems like the absolute perfect culmination of what all of you have been working toward, especially in terms of community. Mm-hmm. I was commenting that it's now part of the general discussion, which it didn't used to be, about mental health and mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So already the stigma has now at least been recognized. Do you think that this is, and I'll ask Gerald first, is this a reasonably new occurrence? Has this been occurring in the last, well, I'll let you.
I think it's, in terms of the reduction of stigma, I think it's been decreasing, let me say.
Okay.
For a number of years, although we have so much further to go, I think there's more television shows where it's addressed. Some of the characters in some of the shows and so forth will admit or talk about having a depression, anxiety, or some other illness or disability. And also, I think the press, more public figures are coming out and sharing their stories and so forth. But the stigma is still a major, major problem with people getting help. Mm-hmm. You know, about one in four Americans within a year's time suffers from some form of mental health problem, either depression, anxiety, or something, some major illnesses of some sort or another. The minority of those individuals actually reach out and get professional help, in large part because of the stigma, the embarrassment, and so forth in doing so. At the most, they may, if they see a primary care physician, mention something briefly, and maybe get a brief prescription for something, but even that isn't as often and as common as we would like to see. And then family members aren't sure what to do in those situations and sometimes can be embarrassed or feel like somehow they've done something wrong. There's just a lot of things that work against people getting the help they need.
Yes, and we talked about in the 80s, the general was institutionalization up until then. And then, you know, it became so identified as so horrific because, of course, the conditions were. And then there was almost the complete absence of, well, if we're not going to do that, what do we do? There was just this kind of, the floodgates were just opened, and it was, nobody was accountable, no money was given, no long-term thought was given as to what we are going to do.
Yes, it's a good story, bad story, in that up until that time in the 70s and 80s, there were hundreds of thousands of people that were kind of warehoused or institutionalized that really did not need to be in those institutions and that could live a much more satisfactory life in a community if they had the support. But as you just mentioned, the support really hasn't been there, although we're getting better about that. State and federal resources make supported housing options more common, not nearly as often as we need them, but nonetheless. And our whole perception of people with mental illness and the fact that they can recover, whereas in the 70s and further back, the belief was that if you ever got diagnosed with a mental illness, it was a lifelong disability. And that's really changed. That's a very good thing. So there's lots of things that have improved, really, in this field. People do recover. The professionals like myself and others are now understanding that there are many ways that a person, if they experience an acute mental illness, can fully recover. They don't need to be on medication for the rest of their lives, per se. Some individuals benefit from medication. Others, it's just a temporary need.
So, Patty, this is the constituency that you serve. How does it usually manifest to... do people come in? Do they call you first? Do they explain, I have a friend, it's my mother, or
it's all of those. So we have a helpline where people can call in. And
is that usually the first contact, would you say?
Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes. We're right near Providence. So there
might be a referral?
Yes.
I see.
So they can walk in. It's because my friend said, it's because my family member has, and maybe they'll come to us because they heard about NAMI National and they don't know about it being right here in the county of Multnomah, so they'll go that way. They'll do their research and they'll come to us. We've got a pretty good website, so if they hit mental illness, then that will come up with NAMI. Yeah.
And again, NAMI is the
National Alliance of Mental Illness. Uh-huh. And there's a national chapter, there's a state chapter, and then counties have. And counties are the ones that do the direct services. So we are the ones that put the classes on and provide the support groups. So we're the conduit to the people who are.
Now, when you put
it
on the classes, does that occur in different neighborhoods? Do you use different buildings?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All of that. We try to hit a lot of different areas. You know, we're going to have a family-to-family class because it's going to be in Southeast. There's going to be one in Northeast. We've got a new program called Homefront for families who have veterans that are affected by a mental illness, and we haven't done this before. All of these classes are created by NAMI National, so the curriculum is researched and provided to the county so that we can have a signature program, which basically is the same program from county to county.
Well, I want to remind our listeners again, because this is such a wonderful alliance of these three great organizations. They're coming together to present a one-time special event called Break the Silence, Break the Stigma. And it's going to be Tuesday, September 15th, just coming up here, from 7:30 to 9:30. It's at the Artist Repertory Theater, which is at 1515 Southwest Morrison. And all the proceeds go to benefit NAMI and the Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare. Ryan, so this is the first time you will have worked in alliance with these particular groups. How did that kind of come about?
Well, Patty probably could answer this question better than I could, but she...
But your involvement also with the theater, this is the kind of work that you are set up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a couple kinds. We do have public shows every year.
Yeah,
we have
a season. I think that's a fascinating...
With different topics. The first one this year on the 19th of September is The Comeback Kid, Stories of Overcoming Adversity. And that's the theme. But we also do private gigs. Like this one would be considered a private gig, even though it's open to the public, where we address one
specific... A very specific, targeted issue.
We work in schools and do anti-bullying programs, Dare to Act program. Extremely powerful. Kids are crying. They're committing to not allow bullying anymore. They're standing up in support of kids who've been bullied. Bullies come up after the program, say, I had no idea of the impact of the bullying, my bullying of these kids. And I will never do it again. So it's anti-drug
stuff. So you really become the voice. You become the platform and the forum for people who are too small, too insecure, too troubled, unable to speak, you give them the voice in the forum.
Absolutely. And there's we have this fear of things we don't understand or can't control or don't have a neat box for, and we just, I'm not saying everybody, but it seems pretty typical that we just put people in those boxes and we're done with them. Mm-hmm. And in order to understand how those people feel, and you have to have communication, yeah, and have a viewpoint and some reality on what they're dealing with, and that's what we give. And so we become the voice on stage. And it's extremely powerful for us as actors as well.
I would think it would be I can tell by your response what a rewarding and empowering feeling that would be to represent people's truest, deepest emotion and concern.
Yeah, we're
and
really
give them
grateful.
A safe, you know, forum for that to occur. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say now, Daryl, when people come to you, are they referred? Are they through hospitals and mental health organizations in that regard, or do you seek the community? How does that occur for your?
Pretty much all of those
again,
possibilities. A lot of them seek us out or are referred by their physician,
mental health professional,
or primary care physicians. Or other sources. We have a walk-in clinic at 43rd and Division that we do with University or Oregon State, the medical school OSHU. We co-locate there where people can just simply walk in without an appointment and be seen there, either for physical issues and/or mental health issues. So.
And you have it in many different counties. You have a contact
place. Yes, we do.
Place.
Yes. Also, our mobile crisis program will have contact with individuals on the streets or in their homes when they're in a crisis and refer to our services or other services, other organizations. There's many actually good mental health and addictions services in addition to Cascadia. Let me say something about NAMI. NAMI is an incredible organization. It's been around for many, many, many decades. It's national, and it's truly a grassroots organization. And why it's so incredibly important and provides such a valuable resource to families as well as individuals with mental illnesses, it is a stigma, and it's very isolating at times to have a mental illness, and families don't know where to turn. NAMI is a place where if a family member thinks that maybe a loved one or a friend or a neighbor may be having a mental illness, they can turn to NAMI, contact the local NAMI office, and get a lot of information. Both support, no, you're not losing your mind. The loved one is maybe struggling. Maybe this is what's going on. These are the resources. And furthermore, if you need support in the process of getting help for your loved one, we're there to support you. It's a very lonely experience and frightening experience for someone to know someone else that is struggling, but you don't know where to turn. And you're too reluctant to talk to somebody at work or friends because they don't really understand. But NAMI is one of those invaluable resources that that we're all lucky to have in our community. So the stigma issue is a big issue. In fact, I will share this personal story. I woke up this early this morning with a really bad stomach ache, and. Something I ate last night, I'm not sure what it was, but I was downing Tums, my stomach is doing fine now, but I was thinking, you know, if I woke up early in the morning with a panic attack or feeling extremely depressed all of a sudden, I wouldn't talk about that probably because I would be, most people don't talk about that at work and so forth because somehow it's seen as, by many people as something, some moral weakness or
less than,
or you should keep it to yourself. Whereas, waking up in the wee morning hours with a stomach ache is something you wouldn't ever have any reluctance to talk about. And those two are very much the same. And anxiety attacks, getting severely depressed for some reason, a loss in your life or whatever, is an extremely normal thing. Mm-hmm. Every bit as normal as waking up in the early morning with a stomach ache. So I think we are making progress with addressing the stigma, and more people are understanding that, you know, eventually, and I would say there's very few people that are probably listening to this that haven't either themselves mm-hmm. or someone, a partner, spouse, a husband, a sibling that has not at least gone through a period of really of depression or anxiety or some other kind of emotional challenge.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful way to say it, emotional challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. but again, I want to remind our listeners that we're talking about, speaking of stigma, break the silence, break the stigma. It's a one-time theater collaboration that's going to be Tuesday, September 15th, 7:30 at the Artist Repertory Theater, which is at 1515 Southwest Morrison. I want to take a moment to talk about the performance itself and kind of what you expect, Ryan, and is how that dialogue will go. I know that Patty was saying on a one-time event there might be some coordination about the questioning. So maybe I'll start with Patty, and then Ryan, you can jump in and use her voice. No, I'm kidding. As you would. No, I'm kidding. But
hi, I'm Patty.
Yeah. Well, it is a unique collaboration, like you said. The director, Jackie Paris, came to me and said, we'd really like to be able to do this. And so the performance itself is going to have stories from people who are peers, people that are affected with a mental illness, and by family members. And also you'll hear from the two executive directors from Cascadia and Menominee Multnomah, and they'll each have a storyline. The one thing that's very interesting with playback, I've been to it maybe 6 or 7 times, is that they just take seconds to get themselves in order after listening to the story, and then they do indeed play it back to you. And as an audience member, you're affected. You get little, you know, bumps, goosebumps. But I can't even imagine what the person who's telling the story, how more impactful it can be, because it is it's a truly remarkable experience. So
wow.
Yeah.
So Ryan, tell us what your expectation, I how this kind of goes in the past, and what you think that it might look like.
Okay. Well, first, my expectation is next public performance Patty's at, she tells a story. that's my first expectation.
Okay.
So I expect people to understand so much more when the show is over about what issues there are around it, what the fear is, what the isolation feels like, what it looks like, the things that stop people from reaching out. That's one. And the other one is the people who don't reach out understand that there's no problem with reaching out. There is no stigma. I mean, only the stigma they allow to be, that they set upon themselves. Not erasing other issues, but that if they just reach out and ask for help, it will be okay. They'll get the support from these two organizations.
Daryl, don't you think that some of the stigma, at least in the past, has been warranted by the person trying to protect themselves in some way?
Oh, absolutely. This, you know, they have wanted to avoid the rejection.
Yeah.
The sneers, the suggestion that there is something inferior or wrong with them, that they're having those challenges or emotions. And I really think the playback theater performance is really actually a wonderful therapeutic vehicle to express
feelings.
For
those of us feelings. In the audience.
Going back to the kind of dark days of deinstitutionalization and people being just discharged into the community without resources, we've made a lot of progress in this field. And one of the most significant areas is understanding that people with lived experience can be extremely helpful and be a significant part of providing support and therapeutic opportunities for other people that are going through it. So there is a national movement, and certainly Cascadia has a large program, and NAMI Multnomah also has people with lived experience, and there's training opportunities for people with lived experience to be a part of the treatment system. So Cascadia has peer wellness specialists that work with our programs and work with people that are in services being served to assure them and to relate to them, because it's we're human beings that want an affiliation with others that have had the experience that we're perhaps having at the time. And certainly this playback theater event is a perfect example of
wonderful form
for realizing that I'm not the only one that have had those feelings or that have been wrestling with those issues, and I need not do it in silence and alone.
And alone. This is Michelle Schroeder Fletcher from KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. I've been speaking with Patty Lyons, Associate Director of NAMI Multnomah, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness, Daryl Walker, CEO of Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare Incorporated, and our actor friend and wonderful performer, Ryan Bowen, who will be performing at Break the Silence, Break the Stigma, a wonderful one-time event and theater collaboration, Tuesday, September 15th, 7:30 at Artist Repertory Theater. Tickets available at breakthesilence.brownpapertickets.com. I can't thank you enough for all your work, your effort, your energy, your support in the community. It's made Portland better. We're all better for the experience. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Other September 11th, film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the Other September 11th on Friday, September 11th.